Here's the news in 60 seconds, yumadailynews.com. Higher education in Arizona is turning beauty pros into industry leaders. Find out how ASU is involved in the effort, yumadailynews.com. The Yuma County Sheriff has released a list of their most popular suspects in the area. Take a look at the roundup of who deputies want to see behind bars, yumadailynews.com. Get ready, Yuma. Tourists from Mexico will soon be able to cross the border into the city any day now. The Biden administration announced last month that vaccinated travelers will be allowed to pass through land border crossings from Mexico and Canada beginning in early November. More info, yumadailynews.com. An unvaccinated couple in Arizona nearly died of COVID-19. They now want others to hear their story. You can read more now at yumadailynews.com. If you have ideas for local stories, keep sending them our way. Newsroom at yumadailynews.com. We'll take a look. For now, that's the news. I'm Andrew Caravella.
When it's hot, the last thing you want is your home's AC to quit on you. At 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating, our team of comfort specialists take the frustration out of the equation. From simple repairs to more complex fixes, we'll get you warm and comfortable quickly. Call 855-1-HOUR for a free service call with completed repair. Don't forget, we're
always on time, boy, you don't pay a dime. Always on time, boy, you don't pay a dime.
Terms and conditions may apply. Independently owned and operated, licensed in their respective state or county.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
Good morning, Yuma. This is 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law. I'm attorney Adam Hanson. I'm in the studio today with the one and only Mr. Russ Clark.
Good morning.
Pushing buttons and turning dials and making it work, I guess. I don't know. It looks like you're taking a nap over there.
Could be.
I'm just teasing you, Russ. And we got Howard, the constitutional guru in the house from the Freedom Library.
Good morning.
And things are moving along, right, with the Statue of Liberty?
The statue is to be shipped on Wednesday, from what I understand.
Oh, my gosh.
There was a little delay.
That's
so
what
hopefully
I hear.
It'll be here Monday or Tuesday next week. But we got a long way to go, though. We need the site plan first before we can even put this thing up. So
a little bit of a delay.
We're waiting for the site plan.
Oh, okay. But not American Airlines, I guess, over
no,
the weekend.
We're not waiting on American Airlines.
Over the weekend, I read an article last night about thousands of flights were canceled over the weekend.
Yeah, I heard that.
I think the 29th through the 31st.
What was that all about?
American Airlines said that they had weather issues, strong winds and things like that, that caused some staffing errors and issues that just backed everything up. That's what they're saying. But at the very beginning
of the
month,
doesn't believe it.
I'm not convinced.
Why not? I mean,
well, I don't believe it, because when it only happens to one airline and not the others, then it's suspect.
It is suspect. But what other cause could there be?
Right. You know? Well, same thing happened in Southwest. Remember, Southwest had to cancel 1,000 flights because of weather. No other airline did it, and yet the pilots were saying, "No, it's not that. We're walking out." Well, who are you going to believe?
And I imagine that's because
the weather only happens in one area.
Yeah, over one carrier.
That's right.
So you're probably alluding to the vaccination mandates that the federal government is trying to push onto private industry. I think over the weekend, my son, believe it or not, he's 14 years old, but he's I don't know if I should be proud of this or worried about this, but he constantly is listening to Ben Shapiro and other type individuals, and so he's filling me in on what's going on because as of late I've been busy doing other things, and so he'll come in and he's like, "Dad, did you hear about this? Did you hear about that?" Or an issue will come up at family dinner, and he's all over it, you know. And we're just like, "Huh, That's good, I guess. I don't know what to think about that.
Maybe Dad needs to get to work reading a little more.
Right, exactly. So I did, and one of the big issues this last week was In-N-Out being forced in San Francisco to close its doors because they decided that they were not going to follow along with the mandates there in the San Francisco Bay Area, mm-hmm. which required them to basically card people as they came into the in-house dining area. So I guess in San Francisco, you have to be vaccinated in order to come in. And so the way that they're doing that is they're saying, if you private industries, you restaurants don't ask, then we're going to shut you down. It's a health code violation, essentially, is what they're using. And so In-N-Out said, listen, we're not the police here. We're not going to ask people whether they're vaccinated or not. That's not our job. Our job is to serve burgers and to do a good job and to have excellent customer service. Well, as a response to that, the San Francisco government said, well, we're shutting you down then. And they said, okay, well, we'll just do the drive-through then. We'll shut down our indoor dining and we'll just go through the drive-through. And I guess this sparked a huge response in a positive way for In-N-Out. A lot of people, mm-hmm. you know, they lined the block going through In-N-Out over the weekend, and even here it was pretty busy as well to show their support for In-N-Out and standing up for what they believe in, which was, you know, we don't want the government interjecting themselves in the private industry. I think that's a common theme in the American value system.
Yeah,
I think,
but they already do because of the licensing and all the codes and the regulations. So basically this proves that there's no such thing as a free market in this country. We're not a free enterprise system, okay? Because it is all regulated and controlled by every level of government that we know of. So this is how they get away with it. If we truly had free enterprise, there would be no government regulations at all. Businesses would compete. If people truly wanted to make sure that they were going to be safe healthy-wise, and making sure that, you know, everybody got vaccinated, those companies that didn't require vaccinations probably wouldn't get any business from those people that feel that, hey, you know what? Everybody should be vaccinated. It's not a question of, you know, whether you feel somebody ought to be vaccinated or not. That's your decision, okay? But like In-N-Out said, it's not their job to police everybody. They're going to have a protocol how they run their business. If you don't like the way they run their business, don't participate with them. Just go somewhere else. And that's what freedom's all about.
No,
it's all about individual liberty. So being responsible for your own life.
Let me ask you about regulation and stuff like that. Like, yeah. A lot of things like in housing permits, you need to regulate that. You know, your house is going to be safe for an earthquake or safe for hurricane stuff.
Well,
I'm just saying that no, that's what's going on. And I'm saying, are you against all that?
Yeah, I am, okay. Because it's my responsibility, okay, to make sure that my house is safe. Okay, and yeah, I don't know anything about construction or building, so I would really need to have a good contractor advise me accordingly, okay? Now, it could very well happen that I choose a very incompetent contractor, okay? And the house caves in.
Right.
That's possible. I mean, there's risks in life.
Sure.
But to have government do everything, you know, we can cook our hamburgers in the middle of our living room. It's a physical capability. We can do that. But is that really how we want to cook our burgers? We could have government do everything for us. Make sure the house is safe. Make sure this is safe. Make sure everybody's vaccinated. We could have the government do everything. But is that really what we want to do? Because that's what we're talking about here.
Well, no, we don't want to do everything. And I guess...
But where do you...
That's where we draw the line is exactly the right
question.
Well,
who gets to choose?
And who gets to choose, okay.
And what I'm saying is the individual is the person that should be doing the choosing, yeah, not somebody else. You shouldn't choose for me. Adam shouldn't choose for me. I shouldn't choose for you, and I shouldn't choose for Adam either. Right. You choose for yourself. That's what it means to be a free individual. But that requires, and this is the rub, requires responsibility on the individual. Because you can't have freedom without responsibility. It's totally impossible.
There is a spectrum here. And so we've all frequented a Circle K or a restaurant over the years. And oftentimes what you'll see on the windows or on the door before you enter is no shoes, no shirt, no service, right? And I've seen that for years. Have I actually walked into a Circle K without shoes? I absolutely have. Have I been kicked out? No. They have the sign on the door, but why do they have that sign on the door? Most likely it's because of a health violation that would incur because they are being regulated by a county
and they serve food.
Regulation of some sort, right? The health department in some way. And so, Howard, to your point, is it a would I, by not wearing shoes into a Circle K against the sign on the door, subject other patrons to some sort of disease or something like that? Well, our government, our county government has decided maybe I will. And so they want us to wear shoes and shirts and appropriate clothing to go into a Circle K or into a restaurant. So I believe that what happened in this In-N-Out case is akin to that. They're saying, well, you can't allow patrons to come into your establishment because it's a health code violation. And unless they are vaccinated, for whatever reason, vaccination seems to be their hill to die on. And if you're vaccinated, then you don't pose a threat in any way to anybody else. That is what they're saying. Is that correct? I don't know. I am not a doctor. I don't have a crystal ball, but that's what the government in San Francisco believes. Is that right or wrong? I believe, like Howard says, I believe it is, in theory, wrong. I believe it's a violation of our liberties and the constitutional rights that we have. However, we live in a day-to-day society where if you were to fight that, it's going to take litigation that will literally take decades and a lot of money to win that battle. I think ultimately you would win the battle. I think constitutionally you would, but it's going to take somebody or a group of people, a class action suit, if you will, to take this all the way home to the Supreme Court, which is a long process. I don't foresee that happening, but I do agree with Howard in the sense that there is a spectrum. There's a spectrum of government action in this particular area. Do we allow the government in? Where do we draw the line, like Russ has said? Do you allow them in a little bit? No shoes, no shirt, no service. That's okay. But when it comes to vaccination and asking me, have you been vaccinated and violating essentially my HIPAA law protections as to disclosing my personal health issues to a non-party, is that the line that we draw? All Where right. do we draw this line? We got to come back. This is Life, Death, and Law, 560 AM KBLU. We'll be right back after this.
More thought-provoking conversation coming up next on Life, Death, and the Law, right here after this.
Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit yumaestateplanning.com.
A few clouds drifting by, and that's about as much excitement as we have today. Temperatures, though, are cooler, 86 today. Still mild tomorrow, 87, but starting to warm up Wednesday, 90 the high. Your forecast brought to you by Sanofi Pasteur.
It takes two vaccines to help protect you this season, the flu and COVID-19. And now you can get both shots at the same visit. Learn more at cdc.gov/vaccines.
I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, serving Arizona for over 20 years.
The holiday season is here. Retail sales are expected to rise 7 to 9%. Like last year, there are still concerns about product availability for some goods. Many will be shopping earlier than expected to beat the shortages. If your business's holiday messaging plans are the same as last year, you may want to rethink your timing. Book your holiday campaigns early to give your business a competitive advantage this holiday shopping season. Learn how to ramp up your holiday shopping messages at yumaadvertising.com.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. I'm attorney Adam Hanson. I'm in the studio today with the one and only Mr. Russ Clark, pushing buttons and turning dials. It's like Willy Wonka's factory in here. And then we've got Howard, the constitutional guru from the Freedom Library. And as you heard in the last segment, as we talked about the government intervention in our lives, are you vaccinated? Are you not vaccinated? You know, that is the question nowadays. And it's curious because last night my wife and I, we're planning on going on a trip on Thursday. We leave town and we're going international. And so anytime you fly out of the country and you're going to another country, it's like, well, what is the bullseye here? What do I have to do to get in nowadays in this post-COVID world? Yeah. Like, do I have to be vaccinated? Do I have to have a antigen test within the last, 72 hours? What are the requirements for me to get on the plane and get to where I'm trying to go? Mm-hmm. And it's been very frustrating trying to figure that out because there is no like literature. It's very, very difficult. Mm-hmm. And it's like a crapshoot. We were vaccinated back in April, I believe, this year. And mainly because we just wanted to travel. We knew back then that was going to be a key issue to allow us to travel. And so we reluctantly got the Johnson & Johnson one shot vaccine. We haven't experienced, to my knowledge, any health issues regarding it. Maybe I might fall dead right now, but knock on wood here. But so far we've been okay. Mm-hmm. And so we did it just because of that issue. Had I not wanted to travel or didn't care about traveling outside the country, I would have never got it, because I would have liked to see, just like I don't buy the first model of a vehicle that comes out because it's a new, maybe it's a new electric vehicle or it's a new hybrid or something like that. I'm going to let that play out. I want to let that model go through its course of being tried and tested through the market. And then maybe I'll get generation two, maybe I'll get generation three, but I don't want to buy gen one. That's how I felt about this vaccine. I wanted it to go through the ringer a little bit before I got it. But at the same time, we really wanted to go out of the country at a certain point. And I've talked about on this show before, we went to Italy in the summer, and it was really easy, actually, to get to Italy. We just showed them our vaccination card, and they said, come on in. And I believe we're going to Spain on Thursday, and it's basically the same thing. I bring this topic up because to be vaccinated or not to be vaccinated, that's the question here. Getting back to that issue of in and out and the government action of saying, hey, you're closing down. If you guys are not asking people when they come into your doors to frequent your establishment and they sit down in your dining area and you're not asking them if they've been vaccinated or not, then that is a health code violation and we're shutting you down. That's where we started this topic. Well, I bring this up because when I was looking last night through what does it require of me to get into England? What does it require of me to get into Spain or to France? We're going to three different countries, just kind of, jumping around. And because England's no longer part of the European Union, they're their own thing. We've got different requirements for England, but for Madrid, for Spain and for France, it's relatively the same. You just have to show we're vaccinated. So I'm going through all these rules for each of these countries, and it says if you're vaccinated, all you need is to show you're vaccinated. If you're not vaccinated, then there's a litany of things that you have to show and you have to quarantine. It's all these things,
Oh, really?
And I'm like, wow, this really is a different world. There are different rights for those that are vaccinated than those that aren't. And getting back to the in and out issue, like Howard was saying, I think in a perfect world of liberty principles under our Constitution, a perfect world would look like there is no health department. There is no county health department in Yuma County or in California, in the San Francisco Bay Area, that's saying you have to check vaccination. You have to check whether people have shoes or shirts on, or you have to make sure that your fryers are at a certain temperature. You have to make sure that there aren't any rodents in your storehouses. In a perfect world, there wouldn't be regulations like that from a county health department.
No.
So what's the remedy, though? I go to this restaurant and I contract hepatitis or something like that.
Because if we're going to have government at all, which we will, because unfortunately, not everybody subscribes to the philosophy of non-initiating force against somebody, okay?
there's some bad people that like to initiate force against it. So you have to have a government, just like you got to have a referee in a football game. I remember when I was a kid, we never had the referees in the football. We just had pickup games, and the game ended when we couldn't agree on whether or not somebody committed a penalty or not. So, but the point is, you keep government at the lowest level possible, okay? This is why we have a constitution. The constitution doesn't provide us rights. It doesn't. All it does is it spells out what the duties of the national government is. If there's no duty assigned to the national government, then it's reserved to the states or the people per the 10th Amendment, okay? This is what we have to remember. It's not a national government issue. This whole thing about vaccinations, it's not a national government issue. There's no assignment in the Constitution that I can find where the federal government's supposed to be in charge of all this. This is either a state issue or a very local issue, and I would keep it as at the most local level you can. The same thing with the health department stuff. You know, that's all local stuff. If a local community wants to have that, then yeah, you know, they can have whatever they want to have. It's not an issue. The point is, we make everything a federal case now. Everything's a national issue now. And this is where we're deviating from the Constitution, because the assignment of duties to the national government are being expanded on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, practically. Huh. That's the problem.
Absolutely. And I think what I hear you say, Howard, is keep the government level at the, keep the government in check at the local level, meaning we're closer to our community leaders here, where we elect them to the city council, for example, to the board of supervisors.
Yep.
And so they have to deal with their decisions on a very personal level.
Yeah.
If they make a decision that is binding on us as a citizenry here in Yuma County, they're going to hear about it if it goes bad. And that's good. That's good in the sense that they're going to be accountable. I feel like a lot of times there is no accountability for our senators that go off to Congress and they vote their conscience or what they believe the constituents here in Arizona want, but really repercussions for another few years when it's re-election time.
Yeah, one of our representatives represents 3.5 million people in this state. Our congressmen, they represent about 600,000 or 700,000 people. Well, how are you going to have any kind of a relationship? Whereas maybe a city councilman, I don't know, how many people live in the city of Yuma, 100,000? So what is that?
Yeah.
700,000 to 100,000? I don't know. I can't do the math real quick here.
Me neither. I'm not even going to try.
But maybe 10,000, maybe that's 12,000, 13,000 people, something like that. Well, that's a little bit closer relationship. Same thing with the Board of Supervisors.
But not only that, but the people here in the local level, they have to go to the restaurants that we go to. They have to go to the movies that we go to. We are rubbing
shoulders
with them in the community on almost a daily basis. We go to church with them.
Yeah.
And so if they do something we don't like, they're going to hear about it.
Yeah.
Yes, we are going to go to the polls and we're going to show that through the polling. But on a local level, man, they're going to hear about it. They've got their friends that are going to tell them. The people they go to church with are going to let them know whether they made the right decision or not. And so that tends to give a little bit more accountability on the local level. So if we had, and I like to use the example here, and I don't know if this is actually the case, but I would guess that it is. At the ATF, for example, that's a national federal government level of gun control. And so there are a lot of different issues that are coming up over time during the different administrations as they take power and relieve power and come back into power of different presidencies. The ATF will have different rules that they prescribe, let's say, or they put on all of us on a national level. Some of those rules might not be so Second Amendment friendly. And so on the local level, ultimately, the ATF doesn't have a lot of manpower. They don't. And so they need local officials to help them. We're talking about like the local sheriff's departments, the local police departments. They need manpower in order to enforce some of these things. Like if you've got a silencer or a suppressor, and you don't have a particular tax stamp for that, and they get wind of it, or you have an automatic weapon that's not registered, or you obtain that in a fraudulent way, they are the ones that are going to come in, they're going to raid your house, they're going to confiscate everything that they can, and they're going to bring a case against you. Let me remind you that this isn't The ATF is an administrative agency. It's not a government branch. It's created by the executive branch through legislation that gives it power and authority to regulate how we use our guns, what guns we can have. It also has the power to adjudicate. So if we violate the rules that it's issued, then we are going to go to an ATF-type court, and we're going to be judged accordingly. And then ultimately, they have the power to levy a fine or prison time. So they're doing everything within its own agency, but in reality, it's not a branch of government. It was created through the executive branch.
Yeah, but again, Adam, that agency is unconstitutional. There is no authorization. There is no duty given to the national government through the Constitution. Because remember, the Constitution is the one that sets the duties for the national government. Well, there's no such duty given to the national government to create an ATF or any of these alphabet soup agencies, bureaucracies. And the reason that the local governments do like the work for the national government is because they accept payments, money, from the national government, which, again, the national government has no authorization to provide funds to any state or community. There's no authorization for that. And this is why we've got an issue. This is why everything is a federal issue. And so now the local governments are having local businesses do their work for them. You were talking about In-N-Out Burger doing the police work. Well, In-N-Out's saying, I'm not going to be your policeman anymore. Heck, every business is a government's tax collector, for Pete's sake. So they do that as well, and they shouldn't even be doing that.
I agree to a certain extent about the agencies. I think in theory, you know, it is unconstitutional. However, the Supreme Court has years ago, I mean, this is case law from years ago, where they said that it was constitutional, and so now we have to live with the consequences of that. And we call it the fourth branch of government, and that's really where I believe our country kind of went in a different direction than the founders intended. We'll talk about that a little bit more as we come back. This is 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Be sure to listen Sunday afternoon from noon to 2 for the radio show that talks about all things real estate with award-winning broadcaster Stephen Gasquet. It's everything you need to know about your home, from buying and selling. Brought to you by PhD. When your home needs a professional home doctor, call PhD 344-9111.
Spectrum Mobile is reinventing wireless again. Get unlimited on 2-plus lines for $29.99 a month per line. No contracts, no added taxes or fees. Includes nationwide 5G. Save up to 60% with Spectrum Mobile. Get unlimited on 2-plus lines for $29.99 a month. Call 855-438-2999 or visit a store near you.
Offer valid for new customers on 2-plus unlimited lines. Spectrum Internet required. Savings based on 2-line comparison of unlimited plans among major national carriers as of 9/2021. Prepaid excluded. Restrictions apply.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and Law. I'm attorney Adam Hanson. This is 560 AM KBLU, and I'm in the studio today with the one and only Mr. Russ Clark. And then we got Howard, our constitutional hero and guru from the Freedom Library. Stop it. We were talking last segment about the we got into a little bit of the administrative law issues and what I voiced my opinion about admin issues. How are you voiced your opinion? Mm-hmm. And the reality is the world that we live in now, or the constitutional framework that we have now in the United States, is that administrative agencies are constitutional. I don't agree with the premise there. Initially, when it was created under the Supreme Court rule, this is over 100 years ago it was created. And the idea was that, I'll give you a basic background of admin law. When the case came before the Supreme Court back then, there were presidents that were creating administrative agencies, and they're saying, listen, we need some help here in the presidency and the executive branch. Our job is to be the police. We are the executive branch, and we police what's going on in the United States, okay, at the federal level. And we don't know I'm a president of the United States, and I don't know whether or not a farmer is supposed to use this much fertilizer or this amount of herbicide. I don't know those things. I need some help here from a scientist or a person that is in that field that can advise me as to whether or not this is safe for our country or safe for our citizens to use this particular herbicide or this particular pesticide or this particular fertilizer. And this is an example. The president would also say something like, I don't have time in my busy workday to go down to the southern border of Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas to process those that are coming across the border. Mm. I can't sit in a booth every day and double check whether this person is a citizen or not. I need help with that. I don't have the ability physically in my workday as the president of the United States to go and double check the math in Howard's tax return. I don't have the time to do that. Not only that, I'm not an accountant. I'm not a certified accountant. And even if I did check Howard's tax return, I don't know if it's right or not. I would need help with that. So that's the basic thinking, is that the president of the United States didn't have the skill set to do all this stuff, and he needed help. And so out of that came the birth of administrative agencies, just to give you a basic background. And the Supreme Court over the years has said, that's okay. We understand that the executive branch needs help because we have unsophisticated individuals in certain areas of our lives as presidents of the United States that need help. And so they have the ability to create an agency that can help them. We're talking about border and customs, right? And so we're going to have the Border Patrol and the customs agencies that are created. We're going to have the IRS that are created. We're going to have the USDA that watches over the farmers and gives them regulations. I'm not saying it's right. I believe it's wrong. Personally, I believe it's wrong. But the reality is we live in a world that is the current law. And for that to go away would be very unlikely, just because of it is so old. It's so old, the case law. It would take a president really wiping out a lot of these agencies, which I wish would happen, but I don't foresee it happening. Because when we talk about the federal government and how big it's become, it's not so much that the federal government itself has taken on so much more of responsibility when we're talking about representatives of states in the House of Representatives or senators. That hasn't changed, or it's relatively, the changes there have been very infrequent or small. What we're talking about is the growth of the government agency-wise has become such a monstrosity that the federal government is probably the number one employer in the United States. Yeah. And where does that money come from to employ the Border Patrol agents or the custom agents? Where does the money come from to pay for the IRS tax guy that's overlooking Howard's tax return or my tax return or your tax return? Where does the money come from to finance an individual or a scientist in a lab to double check these fertilizers and these herbicides or these insecticides? Where does that money come from? It comes from you and I. It comes from our tax money. Without our taxes being put into the pot and then allocated through federal wages to these employees throughout the United States, there would not be employees in the United States for the federal government. They need money to pay for this. That's why the federal government has become so big, because of all these agencies that it regulates so much of our daily lives, that we need these people or these boots on the ground in order for that infrastructure to work. I say we need them. I don't mean we need them in the sense that we actually need them. I'm saying the government needs them in order for this this agency function to work, okay? So that's happening in our daily lives. Why do I bring this up? We're getting back to the local level type infrastructure that I believe the Constitution and our founding fathers really wanted us to understand and really be on top of. So when I elect a board of supervisor member here in the in Yuma County, or I if I'm in the city limits, I'm going to vote for a city council member. I'm voting for that person because I believe they're going to vote their conscience, and I believe that they align a lot with my principles of thinking, right? And so that's why I'm going to vote for that person. If they make a vote after they've been elected that I don't agree with, I'm most likely going to see them in the community. I might see them at Harkins going to a movie. I might see them at church. Maybe I go to church with them. I might see them at a restaurant here in town one Friday night when I'm on date night. The reality is I'm going to run into that person more frequently than I'm going to run into Kyrsten Sinema as a senator up in Maricopa County, right? I'm not going to run into her probably ever in my life unless I seek her out and I really try hard to bump into her. But here in Yuma County, I'm going to run into the councilman from time to time. I'm going to run into the supervisors from time to time. What I'm saying is there's a greater sense of accountability when those individuals vote in the meetings that they're voting in. And if I don't like what they did, there's a higher likelihood that they're going to know it because I'm probably going to church with them, or I'm probably going to hit or run into them in the parking lot and down at the mall, that kind of stuff. That tends to be a better governmental system because there's accountability there. Now, when we talk about agencies, there's really no accountability. I don't have the ability to say, IRS, I don't like the director that you have. I didn't vote for that guy or that gal, and I want her out or I want him out. I can't do that. I have no ability to choose who the IRS director is or the director of the Border Patrol. I don't have the ability to do that. The president selects and appoints that, and then Congress affirms that or denies that. And we, as individuals, the only ability we have is to elect a president that we hope aligns with our value system or with the way that we would choose or the person we would choose to be the head of that particular agency. But we really don't have a lot of power there or sway there. And so it becomes very difficult for us to fight back against an agency. There are remedies at law, you know, if there are violations of your rights, your constitutional rights that are supposed to be protected, this agency doesn't protect you or they violate your rights, then there are remedies there, but it's going to take a lot of legal work to get through the court system in order for you to get compensation or you're going to be rectified in that particular case. Going back to the idea of In-N-Out saying, hey, we're not going to police the patrons that are coming into our restaurants, because on the local level, we believe that people will frequent our establishment, whether they're vaccinated or not vaccinated. It's not our job to ask them that. That is a violation of their personal rights, and we're not going to do that. Well, when the city or the county in which San Francisco is says, yes, you are, we're going to shut you down, and they say, yeah, no, we're not, we'll just go through the drive-thru, they're making a decision there, and they're saying, we on the local level don't believe that you as a government system in the county or in the city of San Francisco limits have the ability to shut us down because we are not serving individuals, or we are serving individuals that may or may not be vaccinated. You don't have that ability. Now, what's it going to take for In-N-Out in order for them to overcome being shut down by the local government? They're going to have to sue the city of San Francisco or the county. I don't know what county that's in.
Marin.
What's that?
Marin County.
Marin County, San Francisco. And so they'll have to sue the county or the city, wherever they're physically located, and they're going to have to take that to the court systems of California and go through that whole process. They're in our same circuit, the Ninth Circuit. So ultimately, if they get to the appeals level of the Ninth Circuit, whatever happens in that court, the judgment that happens in that Ninth Circuit opinion will be binding on Arizona. It will be binding on California citizens. And so it'll have repercussions on the West Coast here, all of us states that are in the Ninth Circuit. Ultimately, if it goes to the Supreme Court, And the Supreme Court says, well, In-N-Out is justified. That is an infraction of our individual rights, and it is unconstitutional for that government, that city government or that county government, to do what they're doing, to shut people down. They don't have the ability to force private industry to ask for a vaccination card. Therefore, that's unconstitutional. That would be binding on the whole United States if the Supreme Court said that. Mm-hmm. So even if you have a Cuomo up in New York City who is still saying, no, you've got to show your vax card in order to be served here, and the Supreme Court were to say, you know what, that's unconstitutional in California, in this case that we're hearing, that would be binding on all the United States and all the county governments and all the city governments that there are. So there are remedies. It just takes a long process of litigation to get there.
But this is why our ancestors didn't ratify a constitution that would authorize a national security state like that. They ratified the Constitution because it only gave very specific duties to the national government. When the national government has created all these agencies that you've talked about, and they exist, I mean, I agree with you, they all exist, but they're not supposed to exist. We converted this country from a limited constitutional republic to a national security state. That's the kind of government we have now. We do not have a limited constitutional republic anymore. Our ancestors, the Americans that lived under a limited constitutional republic, they didn't have half of these agencies. There were only four cabinet positions under George Washington. This is the issue. We have gone beyond the bounds. We've allowed the national government to go beyond the bounds of this Constitution. And as a result, these local governments, cities, counties, who take all this federal money, this is how the federal government gets its job done. We will take this money away from you if you don't do what we say. And so, yeah, we got the county of Marin telling In-N-Out Burger, you got to do this, you got to do that. You got all these different counties telling businesses what to do just for that reason, because they can't get off this dependency of the federal money, which is unconstitutional to begin with, okay?
And so that's your opinion is it's unconstitutional?
Well, it is unconstitutional because there's no authorization for the federal government to send money to the states.
Sure, it is, but it is constitutional through case law, through the Supreme Court cases, in the sense that the Supreme Court has said the federal government under the Constitution, I think it's Article 2,
yeah, but the Supreme Court is not
power,
the...
They can hold the purse strings, so they can attach... They can attach, what do you call that?
But they're not the end-all
be-all.
Quid
pro quo. So the federal government can say, I'm going to give you this money so long as you use it for the purposes that we say. If you do not, or you don't do this, that, or the other, we're going to withhold this money from you. We'll talk about that as we come back. Yep. This is 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit yumaestateplanning.com.
Be sure to listen for the border and traffic reports weekdays on this station, brought to you by RV World. They have a large selection of both new and used RVs. Exit Interstate 8 at Araby Road, then west on Gila Ridge, about a quarter mile. That's RV World.
Buying for a business? Let Batteries Plus be your partner. Whether you're locally based or you have hundreds of locations nationwide, you'll find solutions for all of your battery, lighting, phone, and tablet repair needs, from the everyday to the hard to find. Plus, perks like volume discounts, delivery service, free on-site assessments, and more. Sign up for a free business account today at batteriesplus.com/business. Get powered in-store, curbside, and at batteriesplus.com.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and Law. This is 560 AM KBLU. I'm attorney Adam Hanson. I'm in the studio today with the one and only Mr. Russ Clark, and then we've got Howard, the constitutional guru from the Freedom Library. These last few segments, we've been talking about the constitutionality of different things that are going on right now around us regarding the vaccine, regarding going to In-N-Out and eating inside their restaurant. And so we've been talking about a lot of these things. Before we get too far down this road in this segment, I just want to make mention of the fact that the reality is I went to church yesterday, and there's a gentleman there that he spoke, and he talked about how in his daily life he's part of the Border Patrol organization, and he has to deal with sometimes these individuals that contract COVID and then ultimately pass away. He said something to the effect of that's happening more and more, and it's been a real challenge. And even people that have retired and then they've contracted it during their service, and then they end up passing away during retirement. And he's had to attend funerals and things like that for different agents. And the reality is that it is affecting our lives and all around us. I'm sure there are individuals that you know, or maybe even individuals you love, that have been affected by this pandemic. To act like it doesn't exist is, I think, naive. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to get into whether or not COVID is a killer or it's not a killer or anything like that. I'm not getting into that. The reality is it's here. We have to deal with it. And that people are dying having contracted it, whether they had comorbidities at the same time, and this was the catalyst to help in that particular demise. I'm not a doctor, and so I'm not going to get into that issue. The reality is it is here, and I see it on a daily basis as well in my office, and that's where I'm going with this, is I sit with families and widows and those that have had a loved one pass away from it, or those that have had a loved one that are just completely incapacitated in a hospital setting, and they're unresponsive because of contracting or complications from COVID-type contraction. And so to act like I don't see it on a daily basis would be, again, dishonest, because I do see people in my office on a daily basis where their lives have been touched by this. And most of the time, the conversation goes like, we had no idea, you know, we had no idea this was coming, and they're found unprepared for the next reality, legally speaking, because that's what my world is the legal world, in the sense that I help people like that get stuff in order ahead of time. So if there is an emergency or if there is an issue where they either become incapacitated or they pass away, nobody wants to think about it, but it does happen. And that's what I'm trying to communicate, is that it does happen. And if you don't have your legal structure set up ahead of time, yes, it can be dealt with, but it's going to be 10 times more expensive. It's going to be very frustrating for those that are dealing with it, and it's going to probably require some sort of court intervention. Those are things we want to avoid. And so we invite you to come into our office, sit down with myself or with my partner, Sean. Let's go through what your family situation is, and we can help you put together a plan that will avoid heartache and hopefully court intervention, like I've talked about, and exorbitant expenses. You can avoid all that if you just sit down and take some time now. Our goal is to make it easy for you. Let us take on the hard part of drafting and structuring things in a legal way that will protect you and accomplish the goals that you want. And you just sit back and do what we ask you to do, which is very, in my opinion, little, okay, in comparison to what's going on. But that's what our job is. A lot of times people will come in, and by the end of it, you know, they give me a hug and they say, man, I feel so much better. And I'll have to say, well, it's not done yet. You got to sign stuff. You know, so don't die before you sign it, because it's not done yet, number one. And number two, they say something like, I didn't realize it was this easy. And I to me, I'm like, it's not that easy. I make it look easy, but it's not that easy. Yeah. But we're going to make it look easy for you. That's my job. And so come and see us if you haven't already. And even if you have, or you have planning in place, or you've come here from another state, give my office a call. We'll sit down with you, and we don't charge for that. We do free reviews of your planning, and we can tell you whether it's up to snuff or it's not. And that's as simple as it is. There are times that people will sit down with me, and I say, you know, that's ship shape. You look good. Everything looks good here. It's going to accomplish what you want. There are some times when I look over things and I say, this is a complete train wreck. This is not going to accomplish what you want. In fact, it's going to make things a lot worse. So let's fix it, and here's how. So whatever your situation is, call my office, 928-783-4466, and we can sit down with you. You can give me you can go on to our website at yuma.law. And there's a free video there that you can watch. It gives you some idea of what you're looking at and how it might work or play out in your life. And it's a really good little video. People love it. Just click on it and watch it, and you'll get an idea of what to do next. Getting back to the constitutional issues that we were talking about, these agencies, and I think Howard is really good at identifying the unconstitutionality of a lot of these things that we've been talking about, let's say agencies, or let's say the Supreme Court saying this is or it is not constitutional. And yes, I agree with you, Howard, from a textual standpoint, the Constitution does not allow for that. It's not written there. It's not expressed language in the Constitution. But from the legal standpoint, going through law school and things like that, in our current system, these things are actually considered constitutional, not because the constitutional says it, but because the Supreme Court back in the day, like you mentioned over the break, we were talking about this, and you said, yeah, in the very beginning, the Supreme Court said, we're the ultimate arbiters of what is and what is not constitutional. They kind of took that on themselves, and ever since that court case, Marbury v. Madison, they are the ultimate arbiters of what is and what is not constitutional. Okay, and so now over the years, they've said, well, these agencies are constitutional if they meet these criteria. Boom, 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 boom. They have to have be tied to a certain, legitimate purpose and things like that. So there are a series of things that agencies have to be tied to, and these criteria it has to meet when the president or the legislators create an agency. And so the Supreme Court says, if you hit all these boxes, then it's constitutional, and now it's binding on the U.S. So from what you're saying, Howard, I agree with you. From a textual standpoint, yes, I do not like that the Supreme Court is the ultimate arbiter. I don't like agencies. However, in our system, they have been deemed constitutional.
Yeah, all three branches, the legislative, executive, judicial branches, have all basically condoned the elimination of our limited constitutional republic because they haven't owned up to their responsibilities given to them under the Constitution. Remember, all the Constitution is, this is a piece of paper that's directing traffic. It says, okay, the legislative branch, here's what you're responsible for. Executive branch, here's what you're responsible for. Judicial branch, here's what you're responsible for. That's it. There's no, you talk about the highest law in the land in the Constitution. But it's only the highest law in the land as long as it's pursuant to the Constitution. Any laws that are made by the legislative branch that are not pursuant to the Constitution, which are many, then it's null and void. Okay?
I think the common misconception is that the Constitution or the federal government, our founding fathers, gave us certain rights.
They didn't give us rights.
That's right. That is an error. And so if you were to think that, yes, what we're talking about would be true as far as constitutionality. But that, in my opinion, I think, Howard, you're along with me and probably Russ as well. The government didn't give us rights. God gave us rights. And that's what the founders were saying.
Yeah.
We all are born with certain rights.
Rights existed way before the Constitution ever came to being. It's because we have rights is why we created the government, so that it can protect those rights.
And that's what the Constitution's job is to keep the government in check. That's the purpose of the Constitution. Not that it gives us power or gives us authority or it gives us rights. That is not correct. God gives us our rights. Mm-hmm. We are born with certain rights. Yeah. And the Constitution is designed, or the founders designed the Constitution in such a way as to not infringe on those rights, but rather for a system of government to be able to fight and defend those rights that we already have.
Just to limit the power of government. That's all the Constitution. It's like the rocks around the fire pit. When you're out camping, you put rocks around the fire pit. That's what the Constitution is. It's to protect, it's to restrain the power of government. It's to restrain, like the rocks around the fire, it's to restrain fire. It's like the fireplace is to restrain fire. That's what it's for.
Absolutely. And so my goal, those that are listening, I mean, I don't know what your goal is, but my personal goal as I go to the ballot box is, does this individual, when I vote for him or her, do they align with my principles? And are they going to keep the government in check? Are they going to protect my God-given rights? We'll talk to you next time. This is Life, Death, and Law.
Please call the law firm of Decent Garner & Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU El Dorado Broadcasters LLC nor its affiliates nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.